This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War on the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons, tune again. We're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Coming through great. Thank you for standing by. Everybody, it's an honor to bring back Major Tom Baird, retired, here on the program tonight. And my friend, you want to open us up in prayer?
Yes, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your hand upon us, for it is by you and through you that we draw each breath of our life. And each one of our breaths is numbered by you, in fact. As we breathe, our breath actually whispers, as the Spirit whispers, your name in praise. We don't even realize it, but as we breathe in and out, we are praising your name. And so this evening, Father, as we come together, we praise your name, and you have said that where two or more of us are gathered together, that you are here in our midst. We need your presence. We need your wisdom, your discernment, the understanding of the times from you, for your health, your strength, your protection, and your provision. Father, lead us into your holiness and into your glory, for it is through your righteousness that we are covered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Major Tom, the mic is yours. Welcome back.
Okay. Well, I kind of have a free flow format tonight. There's several things that are occurring, and as I'm looking at all of the news feeds and the proclamations of calamity broadcasters, you would never know what on earth is going on. And I think we really need to get the big picture first, to understand what on earth is really going on. Why do we have this COVID-19 false pandemic? Why are we in the middle of this deception? And the deception seems to grow more intense each day. What is it we're facing? What are we about to enter into? Now, we've gotten several warnings. One of them, I think, Pastor Dana Coverstone, is his prophetic dreams and visions, I think, are right on. I think we need to pay attention to that. As for the others, we need to understand that the prince of this, of the air, the devil, still is running the show here on earth. He has limitations and can only do so much because there is an archangel, literally an archangel, that is opposing him, that does not allow his evil to proceed beyond a certain point. He, in fact, is the restrictor of evil. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it begins to talk about that. In fact, maybe I should go to that to refresh our memory. We've got a condition here where, although he doesn't have full reign, he has a considerable amount of leeway in what he can do and work in. As we know, the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the anti-Messiah, is well and alive on planet Earth. It has been ever since Christ ascended back into heaven. Even before that. For it was the one that precipitated his crucifixion. The enemy actually thought that he could bypass God's divine plan by eliminating Christ, only to discover not so, because death could not hold Christ. And when you've got an authority that is higher than death, death can't prevail. And so that happened. Now, as we get in here, to help us understand a little bit, I think we want to go to probably chapter 2, verse 9. He's talking about, well, we can go back to maybe verse 6. And now ye know that, you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. We've always assumed that what withholdeth is talking about the Holy Spirit, but it's not. It's talking about the angel that is the protector of Israel. He is the one that is in charge of Israel, the nation of Israel itself. And he also is the one that withholds evil. That's his job. And that's what he's doing, is withholding evil. The problem is, here shortly, and it could happen any day, Michael, the archangel, is going to be called up to heaven. Remember in Revelation where it talks about the war in heaven, and Michael and his angels are fighting against the devil and his angels, and there was found no place in heaven for them. They were cast down to the earth, and he came down to the earth in a great rage, for he knew that his time was short. Well, that particular event is when Michael is taken up to heaven to conduct that particular battle, because he's in charge, he's a commander in charge of the angels at that point in time. And then it goes on in verse 7, it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let. In other words, he who restrains will now restrain, and in modern language is what that means, until he be taken out of the way. Notice that it changed from what to he. It's talking about Michael. And then, see, when Michael is taken out of the way, and in verse 8 it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Well, that's a little bit time later. It's not right then. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. It's an assurance that Christ is still has all authority and power. Remember what Jesus said, I have been given all authority on earth, in heaven and on earth. Well, what part of all is missing? Is there any missing? No, none at all. So Christ still is in charge, and this is giving us assurance and proclaiming it once again for our own benefit. And once Satan is down here and Michael is up there, it says that, of course, we've got Michael taken out of the way, and it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. That's why we haven't seen the anti-Messiah do any of the events that are forecast and prophesied in chapter 13 of Revelation. So as soon as that happens, then we'll begin to see those things. And what should we be looking for? Well, first of all, we're going to see someone of world renown in stature, a world leader, will be in charge of a covenant of peace and a covenant of reaffirming the worship of God. And the reason we know that is because in Daniel chapter 9, it says that there shall be an interruption in the middle of a seven-week period, or a seven-year period, actually. That's what it's talking about, is seven years. 1 week of 7 days, each day counting for a year. And so 3.5 years, not necessarily. During the peace accord and covenant, it may or may not establish at that particular time, but shortly after that, at least, the morning and evening sacrifice will be reinstituted for real. Every morning there will be a sacrificial lamb given unto God on the altar in Jerusalem, and every evening it'll be the same. For you have it goes in their particular count, it goes evening and morning, because their day starts in the evening and ends it starts at sundown and ends at sundown the next day. Now, all of these events are going to be focused in Israel. Israel is going to be the world seat of the one world government eventually. It may not start out as that initially, but it will evolve to that. We have several individuals that are world leaders now. We have President Trump that's a world leader. Could it be he? Well, maybe. We see all sorts of things going on here in our own nation that are an abomination. You have the justice system almost totally compromised with corruption. You have justices, you have judges that are unrighteous judges They are for killing babies. They just take one issue. Pro-life. And you have wicked judges holding on to their position and meeting out their particular decisions to make sure that they maintain abortion. You have other judges that are for the abomination of wickedness called homosexuality and homosexual marriage. And they're bound and determined to make sure that that's supported. Are you, am I, as a person who is trying to live my life in a righteous manner, going to get justice from some system like that? I think not. So we have the coronavirus. We have all of the different arms and tentacles of like an octopus of things going on. Every time you turn around, you don't know which way you're going to be going. You see, right now, particularly in the United States, most people going around at the latest fad. It literally is. You're looking at who can I impress most by wearing a face mask. Do you realize that it's already been reported in the medical reports and surveys that most individuals contacting the coronavirus are from the wearers of masks? That's why they're dangerous. And yet we follow that particular directive, when in fact it's not even a legal directive. Does anybody even understand that if a law is against the Constitution of the United States, it is not a law? It is an illegal guideline, precipice. It doesn't matter who says it. If it does not uphold the Constitution, if it violates any part of the Constitution, it is unconstitutional, and it does not take the Supreme Court to reveal that or to proclaim it and to follow the Constitution. It takes every citizen and every person living in the United States or around the world, as far as that's concerned, to follow the Constitution. What does the Constitution say? That we will be free to worship. We have the right given by God to assemble for grievances against the nation. We have the right to free speech. We have the right to freedom. We have the right to liberty in our actions. We have the right to hold and, I should say, acquire and hold personal property. And the tax on the property that takes it away from us is unconstitutional. Literally is unconstitutional. There shall be no law that abridges our right to property. So what are we doing on the Fourth Amendment? What are we doing on the First Amendment? What are we doing on the Second Amendment? Now, these are all small items. When you start to look at where are we in the time frame of God, we're in a sea of chaos, and it's designed to be that way. We have evil versus good. And those who are in authority at this point in time, primarily, not all, but primarily, I'd say 98 to 99%. Now, that's a little high. Maybe it's 95, but it's in that category of those that are in authority over in our land, be they locally in the county, be they locally in the town, the township, or the city, or the state, or the nation, either one, any one of those levels, and from every level, from the lowest to the highest, are corrupt. And they are not following the Constitution. They themselves are criminals and should be held accountable. Now, I know I'm being rather severe, but that's the fact of life. There is no clause in the Constitution for an exception to its precepts, particularly in a medical area. There is no medical reason to set aside the Constitution. The Constitution is above any medical condition. And so if you proclaim a quarantine for the entire nation, if you proclaim wearing masks for the entire nation, if you proclaim being 6 feet apart for an entire nation, those are not legal. I'm trying to be as firm and as clear as possible in that area. And so you're going to have wickedness prevailing. And it says also in Proverbs that when the wicked rule, a nation or a country has many rulers. Look around you. Who's in charge? Is the president in charge? Certainly not. Everything that he says he's going to do does not get done. If you are in charge, when you say that something needs to be stopped, it stops. When you say, censorship should not happen, and then you do not enforce it, you're not in charge. Those who enforce the censorship are. So now you've got Google that's in charge. You've got Facebook that's in charge. You've got Twitter that's in charge. You've got YouTube that's in charge. And these are all social media, and they're not even in the government. Who gave them authority to rule over us? We did, because we haven't spoken up. We have been asleep. We need to wake up. However, you're sleeping on your watch is described in Revelation. And that's so it, in one respect, we're seeing what God has said has to happen in order for evil to prevail, because God does say during this particular period of time, when that wicked be revealed, wickedness will in fact be in charge. We've just allowed it to accelerate and to become that part right now. Has the anti-messiah and the antichrist been revealed yet? No. There's two or three candidates right now, and you've got two. I should back up a little bit and explain something. The Messiah ben Yosef is one Messiah. He is the suffering servant. That's what Christ came in that particular capacity. However, he's also supposed to have the authority over the military, and he's supposed to be a military leader where he leads the nation in war. Christ knew that. The people knew that. That's what they were asking for. That was the sign that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of Israel were looking for, and he did not give that because that was not the purpose at that time. Will he come that way? Yes, he will. But it's not in the way that man's going to think. He's going to come on a day and an hour that we will not know and we will not suspect. And we will think, because we will think these are natural things that are happening, that are occurring, that are actually judgments from God. And we're not paying attention. if we don't have a relationship with God that is intimate, so that we're, our very soul is bruised when we see something evil, when we grieve over these things that we see our nation doing and we see the world itself doing, when we do not have that tenderness to God, we aren't going to see these things. We aren't going to see the signs when Christ is coming. We're going to be caught unawares. And that's what I'm concerned about right now. Don't be caught unawares. And for though there's two kinds of individuals that are going to be caught very easily. In fact, this particular passage starts out that way. It says, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, okay, for that day of God, of Christ's coming, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's one of the signs we're going to see. And in fact, we're going to see that very, very soon. Why would we fall away? If I am thinking that I'm going to have an unscriptural, inferred, I will grant it that, it is in, you can get an inference of it, but if you follow that inference that Jesus is going to rapture certain individuals prior to the day of the Lord, we're going to be caught unawares. And we're going to be condemned because we're not going to be ready. That's the worst part about that particular lie. There is nowhere, absolutely nowhere in the Old Testament and in the New and in Revelations. Some people say that in Revelations chapter 4 is the last time that you see the church. I beg to differ with you. It's also in chapter 15. You know what the problem is? You don't like the name. There's two kinds of Babylons that's talked about there. You've got a secular Babylon and you've got a religious Babylon. And the religious Babylon is the church of this day. And it's called Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Because that's what we are. We have sold our souls for harlotry. We want our security and our bowl of porridge instead of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hard, narrow way that it takes to keep ourselves pure before him. Am I tempted? Yes. Are you tempted? Yes. We're not supposed to give in to that temptation. We're not supposed to condone and compromise with evil, even if it costs us our own blood and our own life. How many of us are going to be willing to stop? Turn to the Lord, and it takes, in fact, the process is very simple, but it's very, very difficult once we begin to become proud. When you begin to fall into that gay pride syndrome, when you begin to fall into that wealthy pride, when you begin to fall into that success pride, when you have a pride of anything and put it before God and do not humble yourself And if I don't humble myself before God and I let that thing be in charge, and I don't capture my imagination, I don't capture my thoughts, I care little about that, I love pleasure, and I put pleasure in front of God. My own good feeling, and if it feels good, do it. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. If it feels good, it's dangerous unless it's coming from God. If I produce that or something titillates me and prompts me to have a joyful feeling about some carnal thing in the flesh, I am in sin, and I need to immediately fall down before God and ask for forgiveness and ask Him to help. If the if the evil that has tempted you has got his claws into you and you can't get out of his clutches, you need to cry out to Christ for deliverance right now. Oh God, I call unto you for everyone that is listening and those that will listen whenever it comes later. Have mercy on us, O God, and forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our iniquities, our deliberate sins, O God. Change our hearts. Let our hearts be tender before you. And we ask for your help, your strength, your power, and your spirit to surround us and bring us into your presence, O God, that we might, through your righteousness, be shielded and protected. It also says that gold, or in our parlance, money or wealth, will not save anyone on the day of wrath. But righteousness will give you life on that particular day. That's the only thing that's going to save you. And it's God's righteousness on you and in you, not yours. For it says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And in the original language, it says it's as if it were a menstrual rag. Now that's filthy. I don't want to touch one of them things, let alone have it wrapped around me as I hang on to iniquity. That's what it's like before God. It's a stench into his nostrils. Now, again, where are we? We are right now about to step into. Our foot is in the air. Our toe is right over the center line of the threshold of the doorway into hell on earth. Because that's what the tribulation is. It's hell on earth. We're going to think that these particles of hell are just natural occurrences. How about the hurricanes that we've seen? How many? 5 hurricanes come through already? Do you realize that we have technologically, we have instruments right now that are able to enhance the beginning of these particular storms, their energy enhancements? They're actually being utilized right now by, and I don't have access to the agencies and the organizations or even the nation. Part of the technology is actually being used and utilized by our own nation. by bureaucrats in our own government that think they're doing good because they want to create a condition called climate change. It used to be called global warming, but that didn't fit when it got to be too cold. So now it's climate change. But they have technical things that will enhance that and cause those things to occur. How about the fires that are in California and Oregon and Washington? Why do they stop at our northern border? Why do they stop at our southern border? Do fires have political eyes? Can they see borders and stop right there? Come on, folks. We're being played for fools, and it's costing billions of dollars and thousands of lives already. And we just sit back and tolerate it? Why? Do you realize that there are actual satellites pre-positioned right now that are weaponized with energy beams that can precisely hit a house and it burns at 6,000 degrees? Do you know how hot a normal fire is? Normally not more than 1,000 degrees, 1,500 at the most. But these fires are so hot that they're melting steel objects that are within that particular range. How come the side of a block, one side of the road, all the houses are burned, the trees standing beside the houses are still green and untouched, and the other side of the road is not even touched? Explain that to me. Explain the fact that people have seen straight beams coming from the sky hitting those particular houses, particularly when it happened in the nighttime, because you can see them then, and that they just immediately exploded. We're looking at man-made issues, and they're calling it natural causes. Now, speaking of natural causes, let me go through a list. This just came through, and each one of you, by the way, anyone who has a bank account, check to see if you have just been given an addendum, a piece of paper that talks about your agreement with the bank and what they will do for you and what you can expect from them and what conditions will nullify that particular agreement. It's called force majeure. That's a French name. It's spelled M-A-J-E-U-R-E, which stands for majority.
I think
It should say major. Yes?
Quick interruption. I think I just saw one of those come in this week from U.S. Bank. I haven't read it yet. Back to you.
Oh, man. You need to read it. Let me go through it real quickly. It is an amendment to your agreement with the bank. And it's by every bank that's controlled by the World Bank. You'd be surprised how many that is. And in fact, your bank is controlled by that one if you've got that letter. It is an agreement between you as a customer and the bank. And it says, and I copied this down from the site. I got it off of Fact News Network. And it also is on stopthecrime.net, another site that has the same thing. But it says that we agree, we the customer, agree that the bank will not be liable for any loss, expense, failure to perform, or delay from any force or event resulting from any act or event beyond the bank's reasonable control that prevents the bank from performing the bank's obligation under the customer agreement, such as acts of nature. Now you got to remember, they're also in charge of these weaponized items of nature, so they can pull the trigger, burn your house down, call it an act of nature, and be not obligated to follow the agreement between you and them. They can take your money. Military actions, strikes or labor disputes, embargoes, government orders, civil unrest, terrorist attack, failure of communication or electricity, power grid, power outages, outbreaks, epidemics, I got to get a better light here, pandemics, and any other cause not within the bank's reasonable control.
Major Tom?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, if you want to do an addendum to that, was it not true that during the 2008 collapse, a law was placed that going forward, if the bank at any time needs to bail themselves out of a financial hole, they can go ahead and confiscate depositors' funds, and they look at that as a share in the bank. So they go ahead and basically can wipe your account out like they did over there in Cyprus.
Yes, that's correct. And that particular law is still on the books, and this is in addition to that particular law.
Keep going.
And it's enhancing the ability for them to weasel out of their liability.
You're okay. We still have 15 minutes. Let me.
I don't want to take too much time. I want to help you get back on track if you want to. But at any rate, this particular law also includes pandemics. I'm trying to read my own writing. Asteroids, super volcanoes, cyber threats, nuclear war, earthquakes. So there's not much left. And
so they're basically indemnifying themselves for all these, so that if you can't access your funds, you can't get to your money, services are no longer available, you'll never be able to sue them in a court of law.
No, you can't sue them in the court of law, and they can just simply take your money. It's a license to steal.
It happened
obviously.
In Cyprus. It's happened 5 times, I heard, in Argentina. And you wake up one day and you cannot access your funds. ATMs are turned off, or there's a freeze on the amount that you can pull out on a daily basis. So basically, if you got your money in the banks, it's not really your money when trouble comes. and you won't be able to access it.
That's correct. Most people don't have very much left in their accounts anyway, but it's even that little bit's going to be taken away.
And that was by design. You eliminate the jobs, and then people live on savings, or the stimulus stopped. They're burning through their savings. So what's next? The food line, bankruptcy, and foreclosure. Back to you.
Yeah, and the problem is they're going to dry up the food supply because they've already commanded the farmers to destroy the food. So we're going to be, particularly in urban areas, there's going to be a lot of literal starvation going on here. And this is all designed by the enemy. This is not the people, the enemy, the devil and the demons are using people to do this, and they're being prompted by it. The philosophy, remember the philosophy of Satanism? The face of the philosophy of Satanism is socialism and communism. You understand what I'm saying? Socialism and communism is only the face. It's the front for a demonic control over you and I.
Yes.
Absolute evil wickedness. Right there. And this is what we're entering into right now. It's going to get much, much worse. By the way, in Revelations, you've got three sets of seven judgments. Some of those judgments we as Christians are going to be caught up in just as everybody else is, because it's worldwide. In the breaking of the seals, the seal judgments, you have, I think it's in verse 10 or so, right around that point, where it says that mankind or death shall occur by, you know, the sword, famine, and so on, four different things in wild beasts. And a third of mankind will die. Well, a third of 7 billion is 1.75 billion. I can't even count a billion, let alone 1.75 or 7 billion. By the time I finish counting, I would be dead, particularly at my age.
1,000 million equals 1 billion.
That's right. That's right. And we have that many being killed in that first, in chapter 6. Then we go to chapter 16, and we get, well, in between chapter 6 and 16, we have chapter 8, 9, and 10. And in there, we have the trumpet judgments. These, by the way, all three of these judgments are not happening. They're happening somewhat sequentially, but they're also happening simultaneously, particularly the first four in each one of those judgments. They're all happening at the same time. They're not separate. You don't get to catch a breath between them. They're happening at the same time. And they're talking about the same event in a couple of cases there. Now, in chapter 16, when you have the plague judgments, those judgments primarily are happening on one day. It's actually talking about the day of wrath, the day of God's wrath. That's what those judgments there are talking about and describing. And so we're going to have all of that happening. In each one of those cases, it's not touching the righteous. It's not touching the saints. Are we going to die? Yes, there's going to be a lot of us dying. But now, in chapter 16, it says there that with all of those, one quarter of the population of the earth is also killed. Well, if you take the remaining part of 7 billion and you divide that, I mean, you take one quarter of that away, guess what? That also equals, I'm sorry, I got them backwards. The one in chapter 6 is one quarter, and then the one in chapter 7, in chapter 16, is one third. When you put those two together, you actually have a full one half of the population of the earth right there. 3.5 billion people. So the problem is, if we aren't prepared and have a right relationship with God, and our body gets caught up in one of these things like the asteroid or one of the other, the one that talks about the mountain being thrown into the ocean and those kinds of things, and we get caught up in that tidal wave that comes through, or tsunami as they call it, and we die, it only kills our body. It can't, he, the evil one, the wicked one, cannot touch our soul and our spirit. Yes, our body can be killed, and there's going to be many of us that perish during this particular tribulation time. Do not fear death. Fear God. Remember what it says in Proverbs? Gold cannot save you in the day of wrath, but righteousness will save your life. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's what it says. So let us seek righteousness for our lives. Let us daily be tender towards God. Follow Him. I know it's difficult, but we've got to be hardened and we've got to be made tough in our soul and in our spirit, in our flesh. We've got to be able to tell one another, encourage one another. Stay firm in the Lord. Tell others about the Lord. Share His love. He does not want to visit us with His wrath. He wants to only reserve that for those that are of great wickedness, not against us as His saints. And that is my plea for tonight.
Excellent word tonight, Major Tom. Before we close, I want you to give out your contact information, how people can reach you.
Go ahead.
I want to encourage you, maybe consider setting up a free account over at brideon.social. It's a Facebook-style site, but uncensored. It's for Christians and patriots. And you may want to consider putting your blog up there as well. And if you have an account, you can simply give out your account and people can go over there and read your blog postings in addition to your website. Something to think about. I have deleted my Facebook and Twitter. I think YouTube will probably take this site down pretty soon. So I'm already making preparations. I've set up an account. I'm using it now, brideon.social. And for videos...
How do you spell that? B-R?
B-R-I-G-H-T, like bright. Eon, E-O-N, brideon, dot social, S-O-C-I-A-L. It's run by Mike Adams of News Target, the health preacher.
Oh, okay.
He also owns brideon.com, which is an uncensored video platform. So it is to patriots what YouTube is to the rest of the world.
Oh, super.
Uncensored.
Okay. Wonderful.
Check them out.
Well, my contact information is www.aliveontheedge.com, and my email is tom@aliveontheedge.com. It's all lowercase. And thank you very much for tonight, yes, for listening tonight, and may the Lord pour out his Spirit upon each one of us, turn his face to us, and shine upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Tom, as we're preparing to close, would you close us out tonight and have prayer and lift up President Trump and the Pences when you pray?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we close tonight, we've described some of the things that are happening here, not just in our own nation, but around the world. And at this point in time, with the forces of evil trying to do everything to thwart God's plan, everything to break us down, we ask particularly for the safety and the protection and the provision, and then above all else, the presence of God in his convicting Spirit and power, that it would fall upon President Trump and Vice President Pence. Father, we ask that you put each one of them in the center of the palm of your hand and hold them, surround them with your righteousness and your conviction, that they may know what is right and that they may choose your ways and not the world's ways. We ask this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
You know, as you were praying, I glanced at my clock, and it's 9:11. I've been seeing that several days now, 9:11, last couple days.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Folks, thank you for... Go ahead, my friend.
No, go ahead.
You were going to make a comment. Yes, sir.
I was just going to say that's a sign that we're entering into a time where we're going to see a false flag. There's going to be an event that will be claimed to be by someone in the government. I'm not sure how they're going to claim who does it, but it's going to be precipitated probably by one of the agencies of the government, and it'll be blamed on President Trump or Israel.
Absolutely. Folks, pay attention to that. And I believe COVID-19 was a false flag, 9-1-1. Reports
yes.
are still that it has not been isolated in the lab. All this COVID-19 is modeling and assumptions, but there's no hard proof that there is a COVID-19. Now, of course, my time's up, but how are people dying? Flu? You know, we've got viruses mm-hmm. in the world. People die every year from viruses. They die from flu, pneumonia, stroke, diabetes, heart attack, brain embolism, asthmatic attacks, dengue fever. You know, these things are in the world. So you don't have to worry about COVID-19. We got to worry about is the reset that's coming. And COVID-19, I believe, is the false flag cover to bring this reset that we're all going through right now. And I believe there will be more false flags to come. We're going into the months of high danger. We're in there now. If Dana heard from the Lord, and I believe he did, you're going to see dollar devaluation within 2 weeks. And what's that mean? It means price increases. You know, so get what you need now. And bare minimum is concentrate on a 90-day supply of food. That's my advice, and water. If you've got money in the bank,
amen.
Consider leaving only in enough to pay your bills, but get your hands on the rest if you can. Okay, even currency is going to be drying up. So that's the point, to dry up the current system so they can force people into their new with their double shot in the arm, because Bill Gates says it's going to require at least 2 shots, maybe more. We don't know, he said. He wants everybody vaccinated, and they want to get that mRNA, DNA-changing vaccine in your system. Okay? Don't take it. They want to track you. They want to mark you. Stand for the Lord to the very end. Well, my time's up. Major Tom, I want to thank you for coming on. We love and appreciate you. We'll see you back soon.
Okay. The Lord be with you.
God bless you. Let's save this. We'll be